Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy. And these are very basics, but very needful. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a declaration as to the last days. And then verse number 12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And then all scripture, it has been referred to by our brother Murray, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now turn to the book of Hebrews, please. And chapter 13. And verse number, for brevity, we'll verse number 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but seek one to come. Now, turn back to 1 Corinthians, please, and chapter 6. And verse number 19. Maybe verse number 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, there's one more text I want to read, even though I may not refer to it. It's in Galatians, and chapter 6. The book of Galatians, and chapter 6, and verse number 14. It's really the summation of the teaching of the defense of the gospel that he does in Galatians as the apostle uses his authority. And this is the real pivotal point that I want to point out. Verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom or by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, I trust God will help me. I have vowed a few times in my own spirit before God as to this conference. I want maybe to change my message. I wanted to maybe get something maybe more suitable, more uplifting, more dramatic, more clear, more edifying, more heavenly. But I somehow or other couldn't get away from what is burning in my soul. I've never tried it. I maybe referred to it just in passing, but I never tried to speak about it. And what is really the caption of my message today will be this: beyond opinions. You didn't get that, did you? Beyond opinions. You know, opinions are very, very helpful. The Bible would teach us that in a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. And many opinions are good and proper, sometimes to guide us, to help us, to encourage us. And I've gone to people to get opinions as to what I should do or so forth. But you know, there are opinions that are really empty. You know, when it comes to opinions, sometimes you can get fighting over opinions. You wouldn't do that here. Sometimes when they're building a new hall, and comes to the decorative part of it. Someone thinks it should be beige walls. That's an opinion. And others think it should be, just for a word, pink walls. And then the next thing another says, I think it should be two-tone. Those are opinions. And then when it comes to the drapery, I think it'd be nice to have flowery drapery. Another would like to have just plain golden drapery. And then when it comes, you know, my wife's here, so she can chastise me afterwards. You know, I'm not great for getting things to match. Women are good for matching, generally speaking, the proper tie, they're good at that, and that's wonderful. I appreciate that very much, because I maybe would put on anything and away I go. But it's good to have wives that correct us, that keep us right, give us their opinion. It would be better to have such and such. So opinions are you get them galore. Opinions everywhere. I am glad that we Christians have to go beyond opinions when it comes to the Word of God. I want to classify a few things by the help of God. When it comes to the Scriptures, it's beyond opinions as to its authority and its authenticity. When it comes to the Holy Scriptures, they have to be handled reverently, carefully, respectfully, and in the fear of God. This book is not to be compared to other books, how good they may be. That I would find in most books we have mixed with the expositions their opinions. And therefore you have to sort out carefully what is really scriptural. But when it comes to the Bible, there's no opinions. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the Scriptures. And a young generation needs. I know this is very basic, A, B, C if you want. But a young generation needs to adapt themselves to a careful reading and understanding of the Scriptures, line upon line. If I was to live my life over again, two things, more prayer and more reading. We cannot survive in our Christianity without the Scriptures. Books are only secondary when it comes to this divine book, the Word of God. It was bought with a price. We have received this, and I'm saying it carefully. It's a good text, the King James Version. I'm not promoting anything like that, but I will say there's something about it that is majestic. And when I stood yonder, it's just maybe a little my own thought in my own opinion, and I don't want to give that, but when I stood in the, near Oxford and thought of those two men back to back, what are they doing? They're going to be martyred. No wonder a tear come down my cheek. Two men going to be martyred. What for? This book. Bishop Ridley and the old gentleman, Latimore. And I stood there and I said, Lord, here I am with a Bible, 66 books. What have I done with those Scriptures? How have I read them? How have I imbibed them? How have I lived them? How have I cherished them? How have I loved them? Young believer, awake. This Bible is your guide. This Bible is important. You know something? You know what's taking place in the Bible? Rock music out there. Excuse me, but it's happening. I don't know how people... I'm old-fashioned, sorry. Gray-haired. When I pass a car and that is going bang, boom, boom, bang, boom, and it's louder and louder, you feel like an over and say, hey... I want my eardrums. And there they are. They'll flock to that. And young Christians get affected. Would you not be better from this meeting? I know none here would do it. But if you do it, wouldn't it be good to resolve in a conference like this
I want to give more time. Less time to that out there, more time to my book. There's something about it is stamped with authority. From Genesis to Revelation, every word is God-breathed. I think we should have an atmosphere of the fear of God among us. The Scriptures. Do you read history? Just read it a little. We get it so handy, and you almost quibble paying $100 for a Bible. Best investment you ever made. Yeah. My friend would have paid, I don't know how many dollars, just to get a page from it. This book, friend. I'm glad of it. The Scriptures, listen, it's beyond opinions as to its authority. And it's beyond opinions as to its authenticity. It comes from God. God is stamped upon this book. I want to be quick. Did you get that? The Scriptures, beyond opinions. It stands, no competitors. Great helps? Absolutely. Thank God for everyone that has given us helps, whether it be Bengal or Alford or the Greek Testaments or Hebrew. I'm not in that page, but whether it be that you can utilize that and God has given you a mind, but don't relinquish. Don't lose a capacity for the Scriptures. Teach them to your young. Let them learn it clearly. Let them recite it. Get it well into their hearts. Train up a child in the way it should go, and when he is old, it shall not depart from him. That very Scripture taught around the table. I know I'm a little old-fashioned here, but you'll bear with me. I look back, and while in my wild career, I'll never forget, the Scriptures never left me. Round the table, two verses each. Down on your knees. A father praying and father away, mother praying. We left the room ringing our ears, God save our family. The family altar now is being, my friend, relinquished. And they think, well, you know, there's so many pressures of the world, school, and there's so many other things piling. I understand that. I hope I'm relevant. But don't neglect the Scriptures for your children. I'm going to stop on that one. I could go on and just finish with that, but I'm going to leave it. Beyond opinions, Scripture stands absolutely accurate. Not the opinions of men about it. It's what God says. I want to get another one here. It's beyond opinions as to, I want to get this one in here. It's beyond opinions as to the gospel that we preach. I'm not sorry to say this. Sometimes we say we're sorry when we're really not sorry. So I'm not really sorry to say this. There is a movement. To create within minds, just give your heart to Jesus. Or just say a wee prayer. The gospel of this book, now this is not Albert Hull or not the Gospel Hall or not any other religious group. The gospel of this Bible is this. Christ died for our sins. According to the Scriptures. Buried, raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures. I'm borrowing here, we all borrow. One man said that Christ is the genius of the gospel. None other, friend. He stands in all his absolute, incomparable to anything or anybody. He's not only the genius of the gospel, he's the gift of the gospel. He's not only the gift of the gospel, he's the grace of the gospel. And he's not only the grace of the gospel, but blessed be his name, he's the glory of the gospel. The gospel that we find in our Bible is a clear, plain, personal, powerful, potent message. Oh, that it would burn again in my soul. I trust God will revive us again as to the gospel. Let me say this, and I want to just bring in here, just as I pass this one, it's beyond opinions as to its unlimited provision. I wouldn't preach, I have to say it honestly, I trust with a humility of mind. The Lord help me to say it with humility of mind. I wouldn't be out preaching if I didn't recognize that that gospel could reach any person, anywhere, anytime. The very fact, listen, that there's so many in this meeting, isn't that wonderful? It's a miracle audience. And you start to take all over our world, and you start to take from apostolic days, from Peter preached it in the power of the Spirit of God, and evangelized, and it moved through the book of Acts, and it goes into all the world, as we heard from our brother Scott. Listen, friend, that gospel has all the power resident in it. It's not the man, it's not the person that's preaching, it's the power contained in the message of the gospel. So that's beyond opinions. Let us stick, let us be very clear, friend. Let us never move to a social gospel, a prosperity gospel, a gospel that's just given your heart. I'm a firm believer, and I'm now getting older. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant that we may. You don't mind going back in history. I've mentioned this maybe a few times, but I preached at the barn there, Chapman's Barn, with David Gilliland, and we're preaching the gospel there night after night. And Mr. Gilliland was preaching one night, and he paused in his preaching a moment to get his point across. And then he pointed his finger in the hall, outside about 2 miles. He said, 2 miles down from this Chapman's barn, we were preaching, there was a man stood out in an open field. Listen. 10,000 people gathered. With no music. With no entertainment. With an open book in his hand. John Wesley stood out and preached. And hundreds of souls were awakened and brought to Christ. Can't help feeling the impact of what he said. We preach so much and see so little. This message, thank God for its clarity. Bless God for its universality. Thank God for its personal application. May God grant we might ever, listen, it's beyond opinions. It's good to visit our neighbors, do that. The gospel's not just up here. I'm going to repeat, I think Murray said, at least insinuate it. Listen, now most of our gospel preaching's off the platform. This is only 10%. Or even less. Most of our gospel is visiting, making contacts, reaching people, bringing them in for a meal, trying to reach them somehow or other. But it's the preaching, the heralding of that message that really God commissions us to do. I want to point another thing out very quick. It's beyond, now this is it. Oh, glad I'm 73, almost gone. Yeah. All right, the scriptures. Beyond opinions, it's the Word of God. Beyond opinions as to the clarity and of the gospel that's revealed in the Word of God. You know, it's beyond opinions. Now, please get this. This
It's not my thinking. Something I've concocted. Gathering outside the camp. I'm letting that sink. Have we not reached a day, and I want to be compassionate, I'm not scolding anyone, and I'm not trying to, and I'm not throwing stones either. But have we not reached a day when almost there's a breakdown? Now please, not a breakdown of gospel hall ideas. No. But a breakdown of scriptural principles as to gathering. Now I'm going to give you opinions here. There was a king one day, and his opinion seemed to be, it suited the people for a while. You know, he said, we'll put an altar in Dan, and we'll put an altar in Bethel. That's the Old Testament principle. Really, God said there's only one center, it's Jerusalem. But this man has his opinion, and he puts one in Dan and one in Bethel. He said, it'd be easier for them to reach there. More suitable for them. They wouldn't have as far to go. But God's clear declaration, Jerusalem is the place of the name Jehovah. So opinions are of no value. You remember there's another time when the ark had been in the Philistines' hands and they had put it in a new cart and they had sent it off. And you remember with David, he had a loyalty to God, he had a loyalty to the ark. And so they took the ark and they used the conveyance of the new cart. You know what happened? Tragedy. The opinions of the Philistines affected the nation. Wasn't it nice that it got residence in a house called the House of Obed-Edom? God blessed that house for 3 months. And then they carried it the divine way, the order. The priests had to carry the ark. And when they carried it up, you know what happened. There was rejoicing, there was gladness. And God honored that because they followed the instruction of the Word of God. See, friend, there is that. I'm 52 years, so I can speak a little, very little. But I can speak of this. I was convinced 52 years ago there was one place of gathering unto his name. Now, 52 years have passed. I've read magazines, I've read books, I've listened to men, I've accumulated a lot of material here and there, and I have found this. There's nothing to substitute for the scriptural truth outside the camp unto him. And I know we take the word, and I know we sometimes kind of banter it around a bit, but nonetheless it stands absolutely clear, where two or three are gathered together in my name, or gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, or unto my name. Brethren, let young believers get a hold of this. If you cherish this in your heart from the Word of God, not from the preacher, not from what someone says, get it from yourself, from the Word of God. Look through the Bible. Learn what the Bible teaches from Matthew chapter 18 as to local testimony. Look into 1 Corinthians chapter 1:9. Look into Hebrews chapter 10. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, as the manner of some is. And look at chapter 13, and look at the seven churches. His name. We were talking about that in the Colossian letter. Apostle was so authoritative, apostolic, in denouncing anything that would cast a shadow upon his name. I'm not foolish. You know that there are men saved. Thank God for everyone going to heaven. Everyone saved no matter where. Thank God for them. We meet them. We met two in the road just
My wife and I were out for a walk, and a dear lady and another lady were walking, and we met each other, and she stopped, and she said, would you take a little tract? I said, yes. And the tract was, do you have eternal life? And the next thing we started to talk, she's from Georgia. And we were very happy. She'd come to the house, got a CD, and got a text. So thank God for everyone saved. Bless God for that. But brethren, don't go by the opinions of men. And, you know, we get said, well, I think. And when I, you know what I think? And you know what this one says? And then do you know what that one says? And I'm all confused, like. It doesn't look too bad over there. They've got a good preacher. And they do some good things. Listen, what does the Bible say? I hear someone say, someone may say, well, Mr. Hull, just a moment, that Hebrews chapter 13 is going out from Judaism. Brethren, see Christendom? It's mixed up with Judaism and paganism and all the rest meshed together. May God help us, and I say it with carefulness, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. God help us to appreciate. It's beyond opinions as to the gathering center. It's unto Him. Anything that casts a shadow upon that lovely name, upon that person, that exalted person to whom we're gathered, Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, let me say very carefully, that is the assembly title, Lord Jesus Christ. This is just by the way, maybe a little sidetrack for a moment. I remember, of course, it's just a story, I know, but at least it illustrates my point. When I was just saved, what, a year saved? Not knowing very much. I was at a bus station going on a bus, and this big gentleman, quite heavy, was standing there, and he was getting onto a bus too, going another direction, but we're waiting for the buses coming, and he says to me, where do you go to? Are you saved? That's the first thing he said, are you saved? I said, yeah, I'm saved, yeah. Just got saved a year ago. And, oh, he said, where do you hang your hat? And you wouldn't know what that means. Where do you hang your hat? It means, where do you worship? That's what he's saying. I said, I go to a little assembly gathered to the Lord's name. That's all I knew then. Gathered to the Lord's name. I still know that. That's all. That's wonderful. That's great. That's precious. And, he said, well, very good. He says, I'm gathered to the Lord's name too. I said, oh, are you? That's good. He said, where do you? I said, it's White House. I said, we gather in an old castle. There's now a new hall. An old castle. And run down looking place outside. King Billy was once there, seemingly. They tell us historically that he tied his horse and that's where he stayed for overnight. And so became historic, King Billy. And of course, they rented that building for many years. I think it was 1 shilling, which would be what? 100 cents. A year or something. Just rented it to meet him. Well, he says, you know, I'm going to be transferred there. He said, shortly, he said, I'm going to go there. He said, I'm going to be transferred there. He said, I've been seeing you. He said, looking forward to seeing you there at the Assembly of White House. And right enough, sure enough, big Hugh come. You know Hugh, didn't you? Remember Hugh Gallagher? You don't know, you're younger. And he came along, and we got to know each other, and we became pals, and he would take me under his wing and take me preaching. And I remember the first time he took me, and he said, never again, because the platform fell over on me. And I said, Hugh, I'm finished. Oh, he said, there's nothing like the gospel, Albert, just keep at it. You know, these thank God for these brethren, and put a wee bit of encouragement into you. You make blunders and mistakes. Still do. Anyway, he would take me, and then finally, I'll never forget one night in that little hall, they decided to have a testimony meeting. Hugh Alexander, another man from the same assembly, there's three of them telling their testimonies. The little hall was packed. Of course, it was small. And I'll never forget the first man getting up. And I'm just saved, you know, I just lapping everything up like a little cat would lap milk. You just loved it, soaked it in. Ooh, more. And you felt he said, amen, when you were afraid. We're almost afraid yet to say it. Anyway, that's okay. And I'm as guilty.
I'm going to try to say it more often. Anyway. So the first man got up, and really, he was really good. Like, he was very hearty. He told how he went and where he saved. No background to the gospel. Out of the raw, God saved him, a farmer, and that was great. And they sang a little verse about him afterwards. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done, or something like that. And then that second man got up, and whoa, red face, strong, robust farmer. And he got up and his old Irish voice. If I started to speak Irish now, you wouldn't make me out. And he said, you know, God saved me so many years ago. And I'll never forget when I fell in love with Christ. He died for me on the cross. And he said, I went a step further still. I got baptized. Boys, the elders are lapping it up now. Yeah. Of course, that's the formula. See it, baptized. Big Hugh get up. I was rooting for him, by the way. You know, you root for some people. Sorry. And Big Hugh got up, and I'll never forget, two big farmer hands. I loved the dear man. He helped me when I was tottering. And he told how, when and where he got saved. Brought up in dark religious background. And he was baptized, he said that. And then I'll never forget him saying, and I went a step further still. Oh, brethren, get a hold of it. This is not sentimental. This is scriptural. And he put the two big hands up, and he quoted. He called me out. The man with garments died. I knew his form, my Lord the crucified. He showed himself, and oh, I could not stay. I had to follow him, had to obey. Cast me out the world when it had found that I, within my rebel heart, had crowned the man it had rejected, spurned, and slain, whom God in wondrous grace had raised to reign. And so I am without the camp, my Lord and I. And sweeter is his presence than any earthly tie, which once I counted greater than his claim on earth, not only from the world, but out to his peerless name. A sweeter place on earth can ne'er be found. 'Twould seem as if I rest on holy ground, as I along with kindred spirits meet to worship, kneeling at his wounded, pierced feet. My, the elders were up front. Not often you see all the elders, and they were, you know. Oh, just the thought of it, brethren. Listen, not proud, we're humble about it. It's all of grace. Mighty grace that I ever took my place with a little gathered company unto his name, outside all the systems of men, unto him, a homeless stranger, outside the camp, scorned by man, by God forsaken, outside the... Brethren, if you want to take away the reproach, leave and go to some of the systems. That'll take away the reproach. Now, I'm not hard, I'm kind. I'm only telling you, it's beyond opinions. Now, if you come after the meeting and you show me from this book, gather to a system. I'll accept it. I'll accept what the book says. But it says, unto him, absolutely, the magnet that gathers, the attraction. Master, where dwellest thou? Come and see. Come to the assembly. Gather to his name. It stands absolutely, my friend, in all its uniqueness. Now, I leave that. I just want to get to the last one. In fact, there are five more, but I'm leaving them. It's beyond opinions as to the scriptures. It's beyond opinions as to the local gathering unto his name. Now, listen, if I'm wrong, I stand here to be corrected by any brother or any sister. But you'll have to show me it from the book. It's beyond opinions as to who I belong to. The apostle said these words. I want to get to the cross in a moment. The apostle said to these words to the Corinthians. Mind you, they had problems in their local setting. We heard that. Difficulties, correction needed, and so forth. And he handles it skillfully and carefully and wisely. But when he says in chapter 6, listen, you're not your own. That puts me away from saying, I'm going to do what I think.
and you're not going to tell me what to do. I belong to the Lord. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. The price has been paid down for you who are saved. You're not your bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That is the purpose. The purpose that this book tells me. It's beyond opinions. I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to Him. That governs my thinking. That governs my actions. That governs the fact that it's no longer I, but Christ. That tells me that this body that once was used, according to Romans chapter 6, was once used as a servant, a bond slave to sin, is no longer in that position, but is now a servant of God, not the body. Oh, so someone, you're going to touch a whole lot of things. Well, I'll just touch very quickly. I'll go easy on you. I'm just quoting the Bible. Make sure the body is adorned in modesty. Don't misuse it. Of course, we could do a whole lot of things. Brethren, sometimes we hit in the one point and we need to hit in a number, because this Bible is beyond opinions. It shouldn't be a glutton. Sometimes we tell the sisters to be careful as to their modesty. They're a testimony, not just in the assembly, no matter where they travel. I'm going to give you a little encouragement. Dear sister, you with your long hair, don't let anyone ever minimize that. Tell you why. To the head of the church, it's very precious. And when you go to the mirror and look at yourself with your long hair and say, well, this is a problem, just stop a moment and say, I'm pleasing the one that purchased me with his blood. I'm going to touch another thing. You know what I think there should be announcement made in every conference? And I'm speaking against myself when I say this. Turn off. What do you call that gadget? What is it? Telephone? What did you say there? Cell phone. You say, I need help. Turn off the cell phone. And listen, all this business of text messaging in a conference is ridiculous. Who said that? That's recorded in heaven. Yeah, it is indeed. We want to school young people. This is a place of awesome holiness. This is a place where God is. I caught someone doing it, and they didn't expect me to be behind them, but I just happened to be, and they said, oh, Mr. Hull caught me. Forget about Mr. Hull. What about God? I think it's a good announcement. I'm taking on myself, but maybe you'll not ask me back here, but turn off your cells. Put the there's 26 gadgets that tell me that people can accumulate. 26 of them. iPods and P-pods and all the rest of them. Well, I'll tell you something right now. It's time we start to analyze. I'll get there in a moment. Time to start to analyze. Brethren, we're in the presence of the Lord. His word is opened. It's sacred. It's called the sacred scriptures. And I took a funeral in Halifax. I have to admit, I had my cell. I always tried to turn it off, but I had it. And I'm on the platform, and I'm just standing out to speak, and at a funeral, I felt like running out the back door. But someone was kind enough, it was Lloyd, If he's here, Lloyd was there, and he'd get into my bag and switch it up. I just have to say, that was not meant to be. Let us learn. Now, just my final one. It's beyond opinions as to our separation. Paul is a wonderful writer. He's very graphic, very plain, very clear. I know some words in the Hebrews, if he wrote the Hebrews, whoever did it, it's a kind of a little difficult to handle it all. And of course, Colossians reaches highest heights that were almost enveloped in the vast ocean of God's divine and eternal purposes that we just stand in worship. But listen, he's very graphic when it comes to this. He's telling those Galatians what Paul built with the trowel, using Nehemiah's expression. He defends with a sword in Galatians. He defends that gospel, and he's telling those Galatians, don't listen to another gospel which is not another. And he presents before them Christ in every passage. Sometimes it's Jesus Christ, sometimes it's the cross, and finally in chapter 6, he reaches a crescendo, a pivotal point, a high altitude. He says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The next time you think of buying a ticket to go to, what? Some big sports arena. Listen to these words. The cross separates, sanctifies, keeps me away from those places that belong to our world. You get caught up in sports fever. No one would do that here. I'm sorry, some of us would. All right, this hymn book, I love it. But you know, we sing hymns. Oh, worldly pomp and glory, your charms are spread in vain. And take the world, but give me Jesus. And we're at the ball game. And we're at the ice hockey. We're at the video games. We're listening to rock music. I'm saying that because it's happening. I'm not just throwing a bow at a venture. Out of the cross of ignominy, of shame, of destitution, of isolation, of abandonment, of sorrow, of pain, of loneliness, death. I stand at that cross. Would that I could make it graphic tonight or today. When I stand at that cross, Albert Hull, I would like a fresh look by faith, looking back to what took place. And I said, oh Lord, 52 years ago, I appreciated that you died for me on that cross. I appreciate it tonight or today. I never forget that. But Lord, help me again to take in the truth that I died with Christ. I'm no longer my own. The cross stands between me, the world politically, socially, and... Now, when I say socially, that doesn't mean you're isolated. That doesn't mean you cast off your neighbours. It means that you win them. But you don't get associated with them in their way. Now, I'm going to challenge my audience and say, Claude, how do you look at the cross today? Come on now, please. But where do you look at the cross today? Does it affect you? Does it affect what you are engaged in? Listen, there's no greater truth, no more powerful truth, no more pertinent truth than Galatians 6:14. You know what I want you to do today? When I finish, I'm just about finished now. You know something? When you go home, just you young believers, just write it down on a piece of paper. Slowly. God forbid that I should glory, boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world, in all its aspects, is crucified unto me. It's dead. And I am dead to the world. Oh, what revivals would take place. if we grasp the tremendous reality that young men, young women, older ones, if we were truly separated unto him by the cross,
there would be the outburst of the windows of heaven opened and God coming down and sweeping in. I'm saying that with humility because I've failed. But I'm only preaching these little words. Beyond opinions. May God bless his word.